Praise God. And there's also a children's banquet Friday at 5. Where's Sister Bonnie? I guess that's accurate. Children's banquets Friday at 5 p.m. All right, let's continue to worship the Lord in our giving. If we would please all stand together, the ushers would get ready. If you're a guest or you're a visitor here, we don't expect you to support this church. We're just glad you came from the celebration. We want the presence of God to touch and impact your life. We want deliverance to work in your life tonight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for everything that you're doing. We pray your blessings upon this offering. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would multiply it, that you would increase it, that you would anoint everything that we do in the name above every name, in Jesus' name.
Magnify the Lord.
God is very good, worthy of all of our praise, all of the glory, and all the honor. We're excited with Sister Vivian. She received the Holy Ghost Sunday morning, and she's about to go down in the water. In Jesus' name. While they're getting ready, we'll just go ahead and take a text here. Romans chapter 2. Anybody had a bug going through your house? Has anybody seen that bug? I'd appreciate if you'd step on it, shoot it, do something with it. It's been through my whole family. Some of them came over last night about 3 o'clock in the morning seeking shelter from the bug. I started ministering to the sick and infirm about 3 o'clock. And that's kind of what my day's been like. Did that at my house for a while. Went over to Pawpaw's, did it at his house for a while. Pray for me. What they used to say, pray for my strength in the Lord. Well, if you see that bug, you step on it. Don't invite it in. Romans chapter 2. And we'll read 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Praise the Lord. If you love his word and you're glad for it tonight, give him praise and thanks as you're seated. Clap your hands, lift your voice. We thank you for your word, O God, that is forever settled in the heavens. And we magnify you and we bless you and we lift you up. Glory to the name above every name. Glory to the name of the Lord. Praise God. Now, we're probably going to go ahead and baptize Sister Vivian. So if you want to just stay close, you don't have to keep playing if you don't want to, but it's kind of nice. In these first, chapters 2 through 5 in Romans, Paul is talking to a Jewish audience. More likely, he's talking to Jews that are now Christians, and they still attend the synagogue, which was the custom, because that Judaic framework was woven into them so tightly. Even when they got the Holy Ghost and got baptized, the synagogue is where you went to read the scripture and to testify and to handle the things of God. So there was a great deal of conflict and a great deal of pressure in those situations, in both directions, the gospel working on the Jews and the Jews working on the Christians. And he's presenting, this is probably the most systematic presentation of theology in all of Paul's letters. And if you visit it sometimes and it is a little difficult to ply your way through, Peter said of Paul, he said, some of the things that Paul says is hard to be understood. But it's worth the trip. Well, here we are in the second chapter, and Paul is talking to these Jews that are now Christian, and he understands they're going to continue to observe the law. They're going to keep walking in that frame that they've been walking in for all these years. But now they're Holy Ghost filled. Now they're Jesus' name. And he's trying to bring them to a place of understanding. And that's what most of this talk is in these first few chapters, about the law and about faith and about grace. And here in these last two verses of chapter 2, he lets them know, and he's talking specifically now to Jews that are, they have it together on the outside, and that's their culture. But they don't have it together on the inside. They are what Jesus called whited sepulchers, or white gravestones. He said, you've got it right on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. And now that they've moved into a Christian experience, it is easy for them to slip right back into that. Their value is because they have it together on in the externals. But this thing that we're doing in this New Testament experience, this thing that we're doing when we were born again of the water and of the Spirit, it is intensely internal. You can't do this only in the external. I mean, you can do it before men, but that's what these verses are talking about. You can't do it before God. Not with any success. And if you walk that way, you can't do it with the joy. And if you walk simply in externals, you can't have the peace. And you can't have the dynamic interaction, the intimacy with God that you really need and want and that God desires for you to have. And so it has to be more than the externals. Now, modernists read these passages, as they do many of Paul's teachings, and they're quick to say, see, the external doesn't matter. And the works don't matter. It's only what's on the inside that matters. But we'll be addressing this tonight as we make our way through here. He's talking to a group of people that some of them are externally correct, but internally they are corrupt. And this works for backslidden Jews or for backslidden apostolics. You can have an apostolic that looks apostolic from the top of his or her head down to his or her foot. And they're they don't have a dynamic prayer life. And they don't have a daily intimacy with God. And they're not praying in tongues on a regular basis. But they have a shell. And they're known as an apostolic. And perhaps they've got so many friends and family members involved in it that they intend to be that way for the rest of their lives. But down at the point of essence, they don't really have what God intends for them to have. Because this thing first happens on the inside. Then it manifests itself on the outside. And here she comes. Isn't it exciting? Sister Vivian and Bubba are neighbors of the church. They live right here at the back of the property. We're so excited to have a neighbor come and get baptized in Jesus' name and get the Holy Ghost. That's good, yeah. Take me to the water. Take me. To be baptized. Somebody sing, take me to the water. Take me to the water. Hey. Take me to the water. To be baptized. Now, what did he say when he put it out? In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. To be baptized. Oh, let's give him praise and magnify him. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory to God. We magnify you, O God. We worship you, Lord. Now, a couple of things. If you wonder why we're excited, go ahead, put it back. That's right. That's right. That's a responsible citizen. That's what you do. That's all you do. No big deal. Just put it back. Those are SM58s. You can drive a nail with that Shure microphone and then use it. Or at least that's what they show in their old ads. Those things were made in the 1950s first. We're excited about baptism because Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And Peter said, be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. That tells me that baptism washes your sins away. Now, I wasn't told that as a child or as a young person, but when I began to read the Word of God for myself, I found where the Word of God said, it's quoting Ananias and Paul, and Ananias says, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Arise, be baptized, washing away your sins. Now, that may not be what your commentary says, it may not be what your denomination says, but it's what the Bible says, and if that's what you care about, then you surely want to be baptized. And you'll also notice in your study that the only way anybody was baptized in all the Word of God was in the name of Jesus Christ, or in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that was for the remission of sins. And the reason is because he's the one who died for us. The third thing would be, if you wonder why we let the children come up on the platform and act so uncivil, it's because civil is a term that is crafted in different places to mean different things, but this is civil behavior here. We think it's good for children to be excited about baptism. We want them to be energized by this. I want them to feel a part of this, because when they're 14 or 15, I want them to know that this is home and this is where the answer is to the ultimate questions. Well, praise God. So, if I covered all the questions, we'll return to our normal broadcasting. And so if you have it together on the externals, but not on the internal, then you miss the joy and the peace and the goodness and the intimacy with God. And so that's upside down. That's backwards. You don't want to live for God that way. You want to have the externals in place, but following the internals. You want to have it together on the inside first. Everybody said on the inside first. And Brother Reggie is already in my notes tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, Brother Matt. And everyone say, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, Paul's letters are to churches. He's talking to churches. And so he's writing to churches that have people in them that are perhaps some of them unrighteous yet. And he says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Both of those labels have to do with homosexuality. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It just means you can't go to heaven and be involved in those activities. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? You can't continue to do those things. And as Brother Reggie so ably said, and such were some of you. You were like that. This list was representative of what the church was. But now you're not like that anymore, but you are washed. Anybody here been washed? You are sanctified. Anybody been sanctified? You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And that is implicit in that verse is baptism in Jesus' name. You've been washed by the name of Jesus and by the Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Ghost. And it goes all the way back to John chapter 3 and Jesus' admonition to Nicodemus that you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And this is a discussion here about what they used to be, but now what they've been redeemed from. And there are key words here. They are washed. They are sanctified. But it's not the washing of your body. It's the washing of your inner man or inner woman. And it's sanctification on the inside first. And it's justification in the halls of God's justice. And so that's what happens when you come into the new birth experience. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we move on to the last two verses there, Brother Matt, verse 19 and verse 20. Everyone say, what? Turn to your neighbor and say, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. He walked into the marketplace and laid down the blood of the lamb that was shed at Calvary. And he says, I'll take, and the question might have been, which ones do you want? He said, I'm going to pay for them all. I'm going to pay for, do you know he paid for every sin of every man and every woman, every child, everyone that ever walked on this earth. He paid for it all. For you are bought with a price. Tell your neighbor, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Now, here's the admonition. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so where do I glorify God? I glorify God in my spirit and I glorify God in my body. And so I don't have a choice. Do I major in the internals or the externals? I've got to do it all. I have to master all of these things if I'm going to walk in a productive experience of intimacy with God, and if I'm going to embrace and appropriate those things that God's made available to me. I've got to walk in the internals and eventually in the externals. Everybody say praise the Lord. Now there's a modernist or postmodern take on these chapters in Romans and other like chapters in Paul's writings, and their hue and cry is no works. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. But we just read scripture that says gave you a list of a dozen things that if you do those things you won't go to heaven. So then, do you think it matters what you do? Well, yeah, it clearly matters what you do. And so if it matters what you do, then works matter. And if works matter, then you need to pay attention to what the Word of God has to say about what kind of works we need to be doing. Now, when people get upset about this, they say, well, here it is right here. Paul just gave you a litany of discussions about works and about the law. But that's expressly what he's talking about. He's talking about the works of the law. He's talking about the rule and regulation of the Mosaic law. Surely we're not bound by those things anymore. Unless they make their way into the New Testament, you do know that you still should honor your father and your mother, right? Well, that's from the law. Well, yeah, but it carries over to the New Testament. And you're still not supposed to drink blood. They said that in the book of Acts, chapter 15. You're still not supposed to drink blood. Well, that was under Moses' law. And it was under Noah's mandate, too. But some things carry over. And when they do, we embrace those things and we obey those things. Postmodern Christianity is a Christianity that is divorced from the Word of God. Oh, by the way, he says he doesn't like divorce either. Surely not divorce from the Word of God. Two of you thought that was a good idea, but I said God is still against divorce. He is. But this discussion in these chapters, early chapters in Romans, these early chapters are about the works of the law. Now, here we find ourselves labeled as the temple of the Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians 6. And we understand then that internals are primary. What I have in God in my soul, down at the place where God's spirit meets my spirit, that is a place of premium importance, and they are primary. Everybody say the internals are primary, and then say spirit is primary. Genesis chapter 1, the first thing in the book, and the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. And when he first unfurls his word for you, he wants you to know the first thing you're going to be exposed to is the Spirit of God hovering over that pre-creative world. The first thing you encounter is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God then has primacy of place. It is the nature of God, John 4:24. God is a spirit. And so then spirit is primary because God is primary. And so you, even though you're trapped in this existential world, even though you're trapped in this natural body, even though you're trapped in a natural job, even though you love the job, and you're bound by gravity and by all the things that are part of this natural system, you're caught here. Spiritual things are primary. It is against your nature to seek after spiritual things. It is against your nature to embrace and to make them primary in your life, because your body has desires and it has hungers and it has dreams and it has an idea about things it would like to do, and it has responses that are not like the Spirit of God. And so it is counterintuitive for you as a human being to walk in the Spirit. But that's what God has asked us to do. And so to start that journey, you've got to do what God told Nicodemus in John 3. You've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Being born of the water, baptism in Jesus' name, washes away your past and unfetters you from all of that had you bound up. And then Brother Terrell was saying he was bound by himself. And then when you're filled with the Spirit, then you have this newness of life, and you now have the capacity to hear God on a different level and to understand the Word of God on a different level and embrace the things of God. And so now you're born again, but now you've got this growth experience. But that is where it starts. You are just like that pre-creative world. God first has to hover over you by His Spirit. And then God said, let there be light. And then the Word of God, and God said, then the Word of God has to come to you. So it's first Spirit, and then it's the Word of God. Now, I can get in a dog fight with some theologians about that. First Spirit, and then the Word of God. But I find it in the mouth of the apostle and in the mouth of Jesus Christ. The Spirit gives life. The letter kills. If you're a student of the Word of God, but you don't have the Holy Ghost, you've got a weapon in your hand, but you're not doing yourself or anybody else any good. Spirit gives life. The Spirit quickeneth, he says in John chapter 6. The letter killeth, the letter being the Word of God. So first, it's Spirit. The Holy Ghost overshadows that dark, watery world of the creation. And then God said, And then the word of God comes to you. And when that happens, light comes. That's the first thing. And this is a sequence that we've worked here before. And a sequence that our Sunday school children are familiar with. Our teenagers, anyway. And it's a very, very powerful and reasonable approach. You're taking it right out of Genesis chapter 1. But that has to happen to me. I first have to be formed in the Spirit. I first have to be made alive in the Spirit. Now, if that's a first thing, I can't, after I've gotten that, I can't walk away from it and just touch my card in my pocket and say, I got the Holy Ghost back in 1974, I'm good. But how current is that experience? You ever plan on getting married? You do. Okay. Well, on the wedding day, he takes his vows. He makes his promises. And whatever else you do, he sings to you or you sing to him or he plays a fiddle or whatever you do in your wedding. And then he shakes your hand, takes the marriage license, puts it in his pocket, and walks away. And you don't see him for months and months at a time. Is that your idea of a stable relationship? It's not a good idea. Maybe sees you twice, three times a year. That's what you're looking for? No. What are you looking for? Come home every day and have a stable relationship. You're not asking for much. What did he? I want to know first, though, what did he do all day? He was at work. See, you left a very important part out there. You don't want, if you just ask for a guy that can come home every day and have a stable relationship, you'll have him lined up 10 deep at the door. But if you say you're away working and then you come home, it thins the crowd. It thins the crowd. But you don't want a guy that's going to put the license in his pocket and walk away. No, you got involved because you wanted to be like the scripture says, like one. But it's possible to get the Holy Ghost. We have people come to these altars and get the Holy Ghost, and they walk out into the night and never come back to the house of God. And they think for some reason they've touched the talisman. They've touched the magic sphere, and somehow that's going to change everything in their lives. But it's only the beginning. You're only forming in a beginning experience, and you've got to come out of that, and you've got to apply yourself, and you've got to come to the door every day and come and have a stable relationship every day. And it's like marriage. He said it's Christ and the church. It's just like a man and his wife. And you've got to have that kind of relationship. You've got to grow in that thing, which means you need to have a dynamic prayer life. You need to have deep seasons of prayer where you talk to him and you walk with him and he breathes into you and you know him. And if you're nervous about this kind of discussion and you don't like me talking about this, it may be that you found time to shop and you found time to buy and you found time to work and you found time to fish and you found time to hunt, and I'm not again any of that. But if you've done all that and you haven't found time to prayer, then spirit is not primary, it's secondary, and the externals are primary for you. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about when he uses the word carnal, like carne, like chili con carne, meat. It's your flesh. And you're not walking in the joy, and you're not walking in the peace, because the flesh can't do that. Spirit as a secondary experience can't buy you anything. And you're not walking in the love, and you're not getting the good out of this experience with God. I grew up in a church where people didn't even get the Holy Ghost. And it's the saddest thing in the world to see that unfurled in the Word of God. And they never have experienced it. And they didn't believe in it. And they didn't want it. But we want it. And we need it. Now, I'm not talking about this because it's Christmas. I'm talking about this because we're in the second, third chapter of Romans. And that's where we are. But you can get swallowed up in a season like this. You can get so worried about what you're going to buy and how much you're going to spend and what people are going to get for you and who didn't get you what. And you get yourself in a snit, and by Christmas morning, you're anything but filled with the Spirit. You're filled with a spirit, but it's not God's spirit. Ho, ho, ho. And that's not a good use of your time, and it's not a good way to frame your family, and it's a perfect waste of a wonderful opportunity to be deeply involved in the Word of God and have a wonderful time of family gathering, richness and goodness and blessing and all of that. But all of those things, richness and goodness and blessing, that all starts with the Spirit of God. And with the realization that Spirit is primary, which means I don't go to work until I've talked to God. And I don't want to be involved in the natural pursuits of life until I've embraced Him again. And I've tethered once more, and I've tightened myself in that relationship one more time. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. This prayer life will get you where you want to go. A vibrant life of speaking in tongues on a daily basis will get you where you want to go in your inner person. And if you get that internal right, you'll be surprised at how is there a witness in this house that when you get it right on the inside, things just start falling into place on the outside, and people begin to, it just seems like they're different people. Because you're different on the inside. Is that true? Is that true? Praise God. So then spiritual things are primary. And that has to be an active, cognizant choice that we make on a daily basis. It is not, you are swimming upstream to be spiritual in this world. If I could pull back the canvas and you could see the demonic forces like in a Peretti novel moving in our world, attacking your home, moving against your mind, coming with you right down to the very door of the church to hound you. If you could see those spirits, and if you could see those malicious and malevolent things that want to destroy your home and your family, it would, I think, change the way that you look at this business. I don't want to walk a day. There's an old song that says, I can't walk without you. And I don't want to walk without His presence in my life. Praise God. So we're looking at Paul, and he's addressing people that are together in their externals, but their internals are in a mess. I'm going to try to get you out of here by 8:30 tonight. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Some of you, even tonight, plan to go shop. Because the stores are staying open late. But you could have a prayer meeting. But you're not. I don't want to be the Grinch tonight. I just want you to really have what God has available for you. I really want you to walk in this. The deep, icy grip of February. Forget Christmas. Any month is better, brighter, richer, sweeter when you're walking tanked up in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Now, here's something we do from time to time in explanation in Bible study. How do you determine about the externals? Because we teach rule and law and statute and commandment here. And we believe in walking in a way that a lot of people called old holiness. We live differently than most everybody around us. And almost every denomination in this city used to teach the same standards that we teach, but they don't anymore. But how do you determine in that discussion what is greater in value? Well, it's really fairly simple. So we have somebody come in church tonight, and they are a mess. You picture that any way you want. This person is a wreck. Picture that any way you want. Their home, their relationships are a mess. They've got stuff in their house and in their refrigerator and in their life and in their car. They've got things that a message of repentance would demand that they get rid of. But they come in the house and you're worshiping God. And there are a lot of reasons why we do that. We do it to glorify God. We do it because it's a mandate from the Scripture. We also do it because it clears the house of demonic presence. I got chapter and verse. We won't go there tonight, but it also creates an atmosphere where people can receive from God. And like the King Saul, when he came into the presence of God at Naoth, when Samuel and David and the prophets were prophesying, and Saul falls out and prophesies all night long. He's long since backslidden, but he's overwhelmed by the presence of God. And that's why it's so important that we worship God every time we come together, because we want Saul to be able to walk in the back door and be overwhelmed by the presence of God. So anyway, our wreck of a man comes in the back door. His life is in shambles. He comes down to the altar and you're worshiping God. He gets the Holy Ghost and we shout. Aren't we excited when people get the Holy Ghost? Don't we want everybody to get the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Your fervor for others to receive the Holy Ghost is on an even plane with how much you love having the Holy Ghost. And the less you love having the Holy Ghost, the less you talk about it to other people. You remember when you first got the Holy Ghost and you told everybody about it? When you are not as in love with him, you don't talk about him that much. Okay, so he comes to the altar and he gets the Holy Ghost. And then we talk to him and Brother Cliff takes him up and we get him a fine robe and he goes down in the water in Jesus' name. And his sins are washed away. He has just accomplished what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. This is basic entry into the kingdom of God. Now, at that point, is he righteous? I'm looking for yeses and nos and nods. And is he righteous? Well, if he's not righteous, something's wrong with the blood of Jesus. Because we just put him down under the blood. And that makes you instantaneously righteous. Wait a minute. Look at him. And you make the list. All the things that might be wrong with him. All the things that you need to clean up. All the things that have to happen in his life at some point. Those things still have to happen. But the externals don't determine the righteousness. He's right. Because he's covered by the blood. Okay? And he's a brand new baby. Even though he's a big, burly, ugly man. He's a brand new baby. He's a little child. And are we going to get him to do everything that he needs to do in the first 15 minutes after he gets the Holy Ghost? No, not even if he wanted to and we wanted him to, he could not. Does that change his righteous status in God? No, he's righteous. Is he holy? Why? Because holiness is God's and God's alone. And God gives it to whomsoever he will. And when that guy came up out of the water and he was speaking in tongues, he's born again and he's holy. He's holy and he's righteous and he looks like a Hell's Angel. And if you went out with him to his car, he's got an illegal cutoff shotgun in his trunk. And he's got enough drugs in there to stone everybody in this house. And he's got stuff in his house that the DEA would like to know about. And he's living and he's not married to this woman and he's shacked up with her and he's got all kind of difficulties. But as he's walking out of the house and into his car and into his house, he is righteous and he is holy. Or the gospel is a fraud. Deal with it. Or the gospel is not true. Now what happens to him? Now he starts his growth curve. And he's got to grow. He's got to be made mature. So the Holy Ghost starts talking to him internally. This is why spirit is so primary. Because the Holy Ghost starts talking to him internally. Don't go here, go here. Don't say that, say this. Anybody ever had the Holy Ghost give you convictions? Speak to you, lead you? The scripture says he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. That's right. I've told you about Gary Ellis and his wife Snowbound in Germany and how God gave them the oneness of God, and the whole book on holiness snowed in there in Germany serving in the military. And they never had a teacher, never had a pastor. They just found it in the Word of God. Because the Holy Ghost talks, and he talks from the inside. But he doesn't like long distance relationships. And he really does like you to walk in intimacy with him and closeness with him. I'll guarantee you, when the Ellises were hearing that dynamic teaching from the Holy Ghost, it wasn't because they prayed once every third Sunday. It was because they were plugged in, talking in tongues, seeking the face of God, just given to the things of God. Praise God. So our Hell's Angel friend, he's on his growth curve. And he is corn at 2 inches, and he's just perfect. And he's corn at 4 inches, and he's just perfect. And he's corn at 6 inches, and he's just perfect. Even though he's not bearing fruit, and somebody sits in the back and looks at him and says, well, bless God, if he got the real Holy Ghost, he'd know all that. Well, you didn't know all that either. You must not have got the real Holy Ghost either. But it's so funny to me, people wearing their striped shirts and their whistles and wanting to be a referee down in the altar where the Holy Ghost is trying to redeem somebody's soul. And I love holiness, and I believe in it, but you got to get on board with this. They don't have to do it all, and they can't do it all, and I'm not going to give it all to them at the very beginning. We're going to walk slowly. Now, if you're an old crusty backslider and you walk in the back door, the first thing I'm going to tell you is do everything you know right now. You don't get a nice, easy, sweet growth curve. You got to go right back to where you were or what you know or what you've been taught and make it all right. And don't come in here with your little mini skirts on and flashing yourself around. And, well, I get a pass because I'm a backslider. No, you don't get a pass. Get it right. Get it holy. Get it modest. Get it now. Don't do that. This is all right. You're okay. It's beginning to look a lot like. So we want him to survive. We want him to grow. And God has the perfect formula for that. And he's going to bring him into a place of strength. And we're going to have him in Bible study. We're going to get him hooked up with Brother Cliff or with one of you. And you're going to go into that place and you're going to teach him a Bible study. But do you know what? Daniel and Christy, how long have we been studying? A year and what? A year and 3 months. And we just flipped the chart. We have not gotten to the page on holiness yet, have we? Boy, you're going to love that. You're going to love that holiness page. And see, Daniel knows about all this. So he comes under the heading of do it all and do it right now. Don't blink. Don't twitch, just do it right now. Everything you know. Christy's new, so she gets the nice, sweet growth curve. And it's irritating, isn't it? She gets a lot of grace and mercy. She gets to come in slow and sweet. But she's getting a lot of stuff by osmosis. Because I can see her changing, and I can see her assimilating into the body. And I haven't, other than answer questions she's asked, I haven't taught her the first lesson on holiness yet. But she's coming in that direction right now. Everybody say praise the Lord. How many of the parables are about farming? How many of the parables are about farming? Just don't count them. Just say a bunch. Yeah. Because it's a bunch of them. But farming is not, you can't walk up to a little infantile sprout of corn and say, grow, grow, I tell you, grow. Let me tell you what you're supposed to be like. You're supposed to be like this. You're supposed to have big flourishing leaves on you and tassels and corn coming out of you. What's wrong with you? You can stand out in that farm, in that field, and scream till your brains fall out. And that thing's not going to grow at all. It might die. They tell me plants can hear you. Some people talk to their plants. I need to try that in my garden. But you understand what I'm telling? I'm telling you, you can't make that. You can't force that. That has to be, if it's of any value at all. What do you get if I take you and in a military style approach, I make you embrace all of the holiness and the externals right now? What do you get? You get an immature person in the spirit with all the externals. You get a person that's walking in the externals without the internal intimacy and relationship with God. And you've got it upside down and you've got a potential disaster on your hand. Now, if you come in and you say, I'm so hungry, tell me everything, I'm going to be resistant to you. Because I don't want to tell you everything. If you really push me, I probably will. But I've seen more people choke on that than I've seen come and live for God on that. Praise God. Are you okay? Does this seem like a Sunday night, a Wednesday night Bible study? Because that's what it is. So you get the Hell's Angel out there. Now, 6 months down the line, I can't tell you how many weeks I was in church. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. It says it in the New Testament. It says it to a New Testament church and is applicable in 2011. And when I prayed through, I had hair to my shoulders. I had hair. But I had hair to my shoulders. And my pastor was so good and wise with me. He didn't fool with me about my hair. He let us come in and hear the word and feel the pressure of connecting with the body. And before anybody ever taught me that lesson, I heard that from the body and I heard it in the Holy Ghost. And we all got cleaned up. We shaved our beards and we cut our hair and we lined up and we looked like bank tellers instead of hippie freaks. But it was a process that was birthed by the Holy Ghost. And I appreciate that to this day. I appreciate the approach and the direction that my pastor took. Because Paul says in our text scriptures, he is not a Jew that is a Jew on the outside. He's a Jew that's a Jew on the inside. He's got it together on the inside. Not before men, but before God. Because see, you can dress this up and you can fool people. You can fool people, but you can have live, roaring, active sin in your life every day. But you can't fool God. You're a lot more likely to have a loss in the arena of battle with sin. You're a lot more likely to lose and get knocked flat of your back if you've got the externals, but you don't have it going on the inside. Praise God. I know this is Living for God 101. But this is exactly where we need to be tonight in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, it's 8:30. I want us to have about a 5 or 10 minute prayer meeting right now. Okay? And I want you to get in touch. Somebody needs to repent, and so the altar is open for that. But I'd like for you to get in touch with the Holy Ghost and get in touch with the freshness. Let that wellspring. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I do know. The old people told me that a good praying through would fix just about everything. The Pentecostals that I prayed through under, they believed in the Holy Ghost like my mama believed in a hot toddy. She said it would fix anything. And a good praying through will fix anything. You believe that? I believe revival will fix almost anything. Praise God. So, if there's a musician in the house, and I don't care if you come to the altar, if you stay where you are, if you stand, if you walk, whatever, if you want to lie on your face, but let's get in touch with God here for a moment tonight. Praise God. Let that river of living water break forth in your life. Let that anointing break through in your life tonight. If you're in the house and you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, come down to this altar. We'll pray for you. God will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and you will speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, we've got water, we've got robes. We'll put you down in the water. God will wash every sin away. Could you find somebody to pray with? Would you just come down to the altar together? Move from vessel to vessel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, lay your hand on somebody. Take somebody's hand. Let that Holy Ghost flow. That's right, as a people, let's go right into His presence tonight. Let's move right into the Holy of Holies. It's amazing what God does when you walk in that place. Just let the Holy Ghost use you right now. Be a voice. Be a vessel. Let that Holy Ghost come from a depth that you haven't prayed from for a while. Let that Holy Ghost just flow up. A well springing up into everlasting life. A river of living water. God, let's just love Him together. What a good God. Ah, Jesus, we praise You. We magnify You. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Don't let this world swallow you up. Let your light shine. Let the kingdom of God break forth in your home, on your job. Be a change agent here. That's your job. That's your calling. God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you. So good to be in the house with you tonight. The youth group needs to meet over here for just a few minutes tonight.